الحمد لله رب العالمين أحمده سبحانه حمدا طيبا مباركا فيه كما يحب ويرضى وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا محمد عبد الله ورسوله وصفيه من خلقه وحبيبه فاللهم صل وسلم وبارك على شفيعنا وكريمنا وعزيزنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وعلى من تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد فقد قال الله عز وجل في كتابه العزيز وكل شيء عنده بمقدار وقال الله عز وجل ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما وفي شان حبيبه مخبرا وآمرا إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم وصلي عليه الصلاة والسلام عليك يا سيدي يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله Infinite praise and glory is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who created us and proportioned us and decreed for us all of the stages that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has destined. And the one who has guided us towards the beautiful Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, who showed us the true path and the path of acceptance towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the path of Jannah, the path to the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah azza wa jal send His abundant peace and blessings upon our noble Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam and upon his illustrious, beautiful, noble, purified family and upon the companions and all of those who follow sincerely in the footsteps of Islam until the day of Qiyamah and make this day, this moment, a means for our forgiveness, salvation and success. Ameen. I was reading in the news over the last few weeks and discussing with my wife that the average age for those who are marrying at this moment in time is 30 plus, for women especially. They delay their marriage for their career, for promotions, and they delay getting married, and they delay finding the right partner, then they delay having children, and by the time they have their first child, they may be 35 plus. And even for men as well, it's becoming the norm for them to delay marriage for the sake of the dunya, for the sake of education, for the sake of various other things. But for us, it's important to understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has designed and proportioned everything in its right place at its right time. You have been born, and when you come into this dunya, at the right time, at the right stage, you begin to sit up, you begin to crawl. And then you begin to babble, and you begin to talk, and you begin to walk, and you begin to learn. All of these are at stages. This is the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the proportion, the design, the nizam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just the way there is the nizam of the night, it has its time and place. Then you have the nizam of the day, it has its time and its place. You have a nizam for when you are at the age of puberty. A female is different, a male is different. وَلَيْثِ الذَّكَرُ كَالْأُنْسَى And the male is unlike the female. Everything has its nizam, has its place, has its time for it to come and to do certain things at certain stages. Similarly, when you reach a particular age, then you begin to fast. When you reach a particular age, then you begin to pray. When you reach a particular age in your lifetime, then you go on Hajj. So everything has stages. وَكُلُّ شَيْءٍ عِنْدَهُ بِمِقْدَارٍ Everything, according to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, has its due proportion, has its due time and place. And the successful are those people who go with the flow of the nizam and the qudra of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you go against the design, the template, the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you resist that, then it will have physical damage and effects upon you, mental effects, emotional effects, spiritual effects on you, because you're going against the grain, against the qudra, against the nizam and the design of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore, our youngsters, our brothers, and also our sisters really need to ask themselves that if Allah Ta'ala has created you and you began talking at a particular stage, you began walking at a particular stage, you had fahm and understanding and bulugh at a particular stage, similarly, marriage has also been designed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for you to come together at a particular stage. وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنْفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us that at a particular stage in your life, you should be focused towards or gearing towards marriage, because this will maintain that equilibrium, that balance within your life. And this is why the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam reminds us, مَنْ إِسْتَطَاعَ مِنْكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا. That whosoever is able to marry, then he should marry. I.e. when you reach that stage in your life, that threshold in your life, and you have the ability to marry, then you should marry, because it's the protection for you. It is a means of protection for you. And if you are unable to marry at that time, then you should fast, because it's a means of protecting your eyes and protecting your private parts. Whereas if you look, people now are freezing their eggs, freezing their ovaries and freezing their eggs as well, so that they can have kids at a later stage. They are freezing their sperm so that they can have kids at a later stage. Everything will have its ramifications, repercussions, because you're not going part and parcel of the design and the qudra of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imagine an 8-year-old saying he wants to do something that a normal 15 or 20-year-old does. It doesn't work, and similarly the other way as well. So everything has its time and has its place. So marriage also, it's very important for parents to consider at the right time, at the right place, and also for children to consider as well, because this is part of the nizam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But it marks a very, very unique moment in your life when you change from being a boy into a man, from being a girl into a woman. So it's a very momentous occasion in the life of the individual. The dawn of a new era, a new time has come within your life. It is the union, the coming together, the communion of two individuals, of two souls, of two hearts and two minds, and also of two bodies which come together to complete the nizam and maintain the balance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because when you go against the balance, and you see these repercussions in society of promiscuity, of zina, of adultery, and various other things happen, because you are not doing the right thing at the right time when your body needs you to do something. So these things are very, very important. So this is why the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam reminded us that if you are able to marry, and when you reach the age of maturity and marriage, then you should marry. Because it is a means for protecting your eyes and your private part. It is also a means for your salvation and success in this dunya, for a completion of your deen. And the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam further mentioned that you won't find anything like marriage for two lovers, especially those people who are inclined towards each other and they meet eye to eye. There's nothing better than that, than those two people to come together for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam furthermore mentions that when the slave enters matrimony, i.e. they enter into the nikah, then he has or she has completed half of their religion. So let her or him now fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala regarding the remaining half. So also it is a part and parcel of your deen, part and parcel of your iman, part and parcel of the nizam and the qudra of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has built you and created you in certain stages to achieve certain objectives at particular stages. For salah is at a particular stage, zakah is at a particular stage, hajj is at a particular stage, marriage is also at a particular stage in your life. And when you maintain this nizam, then it will be a means for your success and ease in this dunya and also in the hereafter. So I wanted to remind our youngsters and also our parents as well that they shouldn't delay marriage, just the way we shouldn't delay hajj. As soon as you are baligh and you are aqil, you are a Muslim and you have the istita'ah, you have the financial abilities, then you are duty bound to go and perform your hajj. There's no such thing as I'll go on hajj with my wife, I'll go on hajj with my parents, I'll go on hajj once I do my degree, or once I pay off my mortgage, once I do X, Y, and Z. No. When you reach that threshold, when you reach that maqam in your life, then go and you fulfill that requirement and that obligation. And similarly for marriage as well. It has a huge amount of barakah, huge amount of virtue, fadl for you that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed for you and also for your spouse. So marriage, one of the first things that it achieves is that it's a shield for you, a protection for you. It protects you from so many things. The biggest thing that it protects you from your nafs. It protects you from your hawa, from your desires, from your whims. It protects you from shaitan. It protects you from the dunya. Because these are the people who are after you and your body and your lust and your desires, and they want you to go out like a rabbit and an animal, just do whatever you want to do and sleep around and destroy your own life and your own health and the health of other people with HIV and AIDS and so many other things, and with pregnancies and so many other things and broken families. This is what the shaitan and your nafs and your lust and your desires in the dunya wants from you. But marriage protects you from all of those things. It is a shield. Yes, it comes with responsibility for yourself, and also responsibility towards your wife as well. And it comes with various tests. You'll have ups and downs within your marriage. But overall, the shield and that protection is far greater than the tests and responsibilities that you will have within your marriage. So marriage is that thing which makes that thing which was originally haram, because fornication, adultery, sleeping around, one night stands, all of these things, looking at somebody with lustful eyes, or doing, you know, all of the other things which are haram, looking at pornography, masturbation, all of these things are haram. So whereas when you marry, it converts and changes that haram into halal. And you can do it in the correct manner, in the correct place. And it makes it an act of worship. When you marry, then all of those normal things that you do outside of marriage, when you do them within the marriage, it becomes an ibadah. It becomes an act of sadaqah for you, khair for you, barakah for you. It brings you in line with the purpose and the design of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where you are able to fulfill your obligations towards your body and towards your spouse, towards your family, towards your community, and carry and maintain that trust that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you, that amana, to continue the legacy of our deen, to continue the message of our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to continue to bring children into this dunya, will maintain the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is that beautiful sunnah which connects us to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, all the way back to the beginning of creation of Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, and the marriage to Sayyidina Hawa, may Allah be pleased with them both. So it's a beautiful thing, it's a beautiful tradition, it's a beautiful act, a beautiful sunnah to be part of, and it protects you and your iman, and it protects your deen and your way of life, and protects you as an insan, it protects your family, it protects your khandan, it protects the wider society and the community and the world and humanity at large. The Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam reminds us that al-nikahu min sunnati, that nikah is from me, it's part of my sunnah, part of my tradition, part of those things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordained for you, and it is beneficial for you. This is part of the nizam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And فَمَنْ رَغِبَ عَنْ سُنَّتِي فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي. But those people who push this sunnah aside, or discard the sunnah, or disown the sunnah, and say, or delay the sunnah deliberately because they think they know better. They think they can marry when they're 30 and they're 40, and they can freeze their sperm and they can freeze their eggs. They think no. Those who are pushing sunnah aside are actually doing a detriment and disservice to themselves, and also to the nizam and the qudra of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is a very important shield to protect you and your iman and your way of life and your humanity and civilization, and also your deen as well. Marriage is also an act of perpetual ibadah, continuous ibadah. The Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam mentioned to the Sahaba ikram, in fulfilling of your sexual desires, this is part and parcel of human nature, this is how Allah ta'ala has created us. So in fulfilling your sexual desires, there is a sadaqah, fi bud'ati ahadikum sadaqah, that there is a sadaqah, there's a charity in this. And the Sahaba ikram said, how can this be? There is a sadaqah when you are intimate with your wife, when you have intimate relationships with your wife. And the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam replied that placing your lusts, your desires, and all these human things that you have within you in haram is sinful. I.e. when you go out, when you have a relationship with a girl, and when you sleep with her or have one night stand, and do all of these things, these are all haram. These are all forbidden by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when you take that same desire, all of that lust, and you have that urge, and you place it in the correct place with your wife who is legally married to you, then that same act becomes an ibadah. Why? Because you've prevented yourself from haram, and you've done the correct thing in the correct manner, in the correct place, in the correct way with your wife. So it becomes a form of sadaqah for you. So just spending time with your wife, being married, being intimate with your wife is a form of sadaqah for you, a form of ibadah for you, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward. One who spends upon his family, spends upon his wife, spends upon his children is also a form of charity for that individual and will benefit him in the dunya and also on the day of qiyamah. Placing food, a morsel of food within the mouth, within, you know, feeding your wife or your children is also a form of sadaqah, is also a form of charity for you as well. Look at all of this barakat, look at all of this faiz, look at all of this rahmah, this mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where you are protecting your iman, you are protecting your deen, you are protecting your way of life, you are following the nizam and the qudra of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you are doing all these mundane and normal things, but you are being rewarded for it as if you were worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, becomes sadaqah for you, sadaqah jariyah for you as well. Marriage is also a concealment, i.e. it is a protection, it conceals lots and lots of things as well for you as well. Allah Azza wa Jalla in the Quran mentions, "Hunna libasul lakum wa antum libasul lahunna," that your wives are a form of concealment for you, and you are also a form of concealment for you. A libas, we all understand what libas means, the clothing that you have. This is the libas that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to. So your spouses are like the clothes that hide all of your defects. You wear your clothes to hide your scars. You wear your clothes to hide your deformities, to hide how thin you are, or how fat you are, all of these things. To hide your luggage, to hide your baggage, all of these things. Your clothes conceal all of that. It gives you honor, it gives you izzah, it gives you waqar, it gives you maqam. You look at somebody with nice clothes and you smile, you think, wow, that person looks nice. Or that person looks attractive, that person looks handsome. X, Y, and Z. Through these clothes, this is what you achieve. This libas that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to is that when you are married, then your wife becomes a source of honor for you, and your husband becomes a source of honor and prestige for you, and they protect you just the way clothes protect you. They hide and conceal all your faults the way that your clothes conceal your faults as well. They are a relief to you, they protect you in the warmth, they also protect you in the winter as well. They are intimately attached and close to you, giving you that physical, that emotional, that spiritual and mental reassurance, and that bond and that connection. This is the beauty of marrying, where it becomes a shield for you, where it becomes an ibadah for you, where it becomes a force of concealment for you, where you can be at ease and at peace with yourself and who you are, and know that you will be protected because you are there protecting each other just the way that libas does as well. Marriage furthermore empowers both spouses as well. The life is incomplete without marriage. The Messenger ﷺ mentioned to the Sahaba Ikram that the dependent individual, what is a dependent person? A person who can't survive for himself, who needs somebody else. And a dependent and helpless is he or she who has no spouse, because they are prone to the attacks of their lusts and their whims and their desires of the shaitan and the dunya and all of these things. So you are a dependent and helpless individual who has no spouse. And the Sahaba Ikram said, even though he has wealth? And the Messenger ﷺ replied, yes, even though he or she may be extremely wealthy, they are still dependent. Why? Because their life is not complete. They are not fully empowered. They are not able to do all of those things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has designed them for. You are designed to talk, you are designed to listen, you are designed to have actions, you are designed to fulfill your desires in the correct manner as well. All of these things have been designed, but if you have not done, you're not completed marriage, and you're not fulfilling your potential, you're not being empowered within yourself, and your wife empowers you, and you empower her as well. And marriage also guarantees Jannah. The Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam reminds us that whosoever can guarantee me the safeguarding of your tongue and your private parts, then I will guarantee that individual Jannah. And when you are married, you protect each other from the evil of people and mankind and jinn. And you say nice and kind and considerate and beautiful words to each other as well. And you prevent your spouse from gossiping and lying and cheating and backbiting. So this becomes a source of you being guaranteed Jannah. And because you are protecting your private parts and only using it in the halal manner, also this becomes a source for guarantee from the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallama. Otherwise, you can see in our society the sexual diseases that are rampant, HIV and AIDS and so many other diseases as well. Promiscuity is rampant within our communities and societies. Fornication, nobody even blinks an eye. Somebody has a girlfriend, somebody has a boyfriend. Everybody's going out, it doesn't matter. Anybody's committing adultery, it doesn't matter. They get caught, oh, it doesn't matter. It's just, it's fine. Violence as a result, one night stands, pornography, orgies, wife swapping. And this is not something which may alarm you. This happens in this country. Believe me, this happens in Pakistan as well, where our people are wife swapping just to have different types of pleasures. All of these things are there which take you away from Jannah, which will guarantee you Jahannam. But when you marry, then you are guaranteeing yourself Jannah, because the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam said, you are protecting yourself, you are doing the right thing in the right manner, you are doing those things which have been permitted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also marriage is about becoming the best, excelling, enhancing, improving yourself, reaching the stage of ihsan within your life. Just the way you go and you do A-levels and you go into university and you become better and better and you specialize in a particular area. You as human beings, you cannot complete or fulfill your potential until you marry, and then you can specialize in all of these other aspects and areas where you would normally and ordinarily never go into. Becoming a good husband, becoming a good listener, becoming a good spouse, becoming a good partner and a good friend, a good companion, a good neighbor, a good sibling, a good father. All of these things are there when you marry, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chips away at all of those things. Your wife chips away at all of those things, and you become better and better, and you enhance yourself, and you become the best. This is why the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam mentions khayrukum li ahli, that the best of you is he who is the best to his family. Wa ana khayrukum li ahli, and I am the best of you to my family. So if you want to become the best in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the eyes of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, then you have to be part and parcel of that nizam that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created, where a child goes through all of the stages in their life, stage of talking and babbling and walking and understanding, then the stage of puberty and stage of marriage. Is very, very important to achieve that stage and to fulfill the nizam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and not to delay when you're 30, 35 plus, and not to freeze your eggs or freeze your sperm and say, I can delay this and do this unnecessarily. No, follow the nizam and the qudra of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you'll become the best individual that you can be. You'll be guaranteed Jannah from the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. You'll be empowered within yourself. You'll be able to conceal and become a source of honor and prestige for each other. You'll be able to give sadaqah and khairat in all of the normal, ordinary actions that you do within your life, and you'll have a shield which will protect you from the attacks of the shaitan, from the attacks of the dunya and all of your own things as well. So the four things that the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam reminds us, that there are four things that you can actually marry for, and these are equally applicable to a male as they are to a female as well. So the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam in one hadith mentions that a person is married for four things. Either they are married due to their wealth, i.e. the priority is, or you're marrying them for their particular wealth, or you're marrying them for their particular status, or you're marrying them for their beauty, or you marry that individual for their deen, for their iman. This is what the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam said, focus on the deen, focus on their iman, because if you do not, then you will be at loss in this dunya and also in the hereafter. Fasfar bi zati deen, look and search and go and get after person who has their religion and their deen, because everything else will diminish with time. Wealth is addictive and it can benefit you, but it also corrupt you as well. It is here today, but you will not learn, it's not guaranteed for you to have it tomorrow. And her wealth is solely her wealth. You don't have the right to even take a penny from her account or to demand anything from her whatsoever. Her wealth is solely her wealth. It's not yours, but your wealth is hers as well. So it can, and it does cause potential conflict, especially when she lives a particular standard of life, or you live a particular standard of life, and it doesn't necessarily marry together. So these things are potential of conflict and discord. Status as well. We look at our khandans, we look at our baradari systems, we look at our qawms, and we say, "Fulanin al-Salif Shadi Kani, I'm only going to marry into this family, into this qawm, into this particular tribe." But there are no guarantees that you will receive honor and izzah because you marry within your family, within your khandan. There's no guarantees of that whatsoever. But rather, more than likely, you'll always have more headache and problems because you are marrying within the family. Flanin, ekya, ekya, this happened, that happened. Because everybody's interconnected, then it causes more role, then it causes benefit as well. So don't just look at this person is a Pakistani, or this person is an Indian, or Bangladeshi, or British. No, what you need to look at is this person a person of iman? Is this a person of faith, of their deen? Are they practicing their faith and their deen? Nothing else matters. No Arab is superior to a non-Arab. No white person
person is superior to a black person. All of you are equal before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The iman is most important. The deen is most important. The akhlaq is most important. Beauty, yes, is a blessing for the male and the female as well, but it is also a curse as well, as it fades away. And you can say, is this who I married in 10 years' time or 20 years' time? And if you want to see what your wife or your husband will look like, just look at their parents, look at the mother, look at the father, and you'll see exactly who you are marrying in 30, 40, 50 years' time. So yes, beauty has its allure, but also it brings with it vanity as well. It brings with it arrogance and shame as well. So real beauty is the beauty of the heart, is the beauty of your akhlaq, is the beauty of your character and your soul as well. But the most important thing that the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam reminded us was the deen, the iman. That is the most important thing, to make sure that individual has faith and yaqeen and iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. They have the correct aqeedah, the correct way of life. Otherwise, they always have this imbalance that I do this, you don't do this, and you have this tension. Well, I do this, I want my children to do this. Well, I don't want my children to do this. You'll have these problems as well. Making sure that they are practicing in their ibadah as well. Making sure they are practicing their salah. They are practicing their psalm. They are giving their zakah. They are giving their optional and compulsory charity as well. These are the major issues and the major things that you need to consider before all of the other things. In this day and age, we look at, what job does he do? What degree does he have? How much does she earn? How much experience does she have? What khandan do they come from? These are all of the things which are arbitrary and they will not benefit you. They are secondary. The primary objective is for you to look at their deen and how practicing and how faithful they are. If they're not faithful to Allah, how will they ever be faithful to you? If they're not faithful to their responsibilities towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, they will never fulfill their responsibilities and duty towards you as a husband or as a spouse as well. So these are the things that you really need to follow and ask yourself, are they following Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam? We don't even ask, do they know how to read the Qur'an? Can they read fluently the Qur'an? Do they read the Qur'an with tajweed? We don't even ask, that doesn't even come on the checklist. Sonia, seek her, khandan changa, tika, that's it. Shadi karo Allah khair sallam. No. Where is the deen? Because she's going to be the mother of your children, who's going to teach your children how to behave, how to react, the character, the akhlaq, the adab, it all comes from the mother. She can't read, she can't write, she can't understand her faith, doesn't practice her faith. What do you expect of your children? And when you're old, you're going to say, putta na parde na kudwa kar de na e na o, and then where are you going to turn to? It's your fault because you placed the seed at the beginning of that particular relationship. So that character, looking at her akhlaq of honesty, of integrity, of courage, of patience, sense of honor, ghairat, sharam, haya, modesty, all of these things are very, very important. And this is why the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam said, first for bizat al-deen, at least find somebody who appears to be Muslim, wears the hijab, acts like a Muslim, behaves like a Muslim, and practices their faith rather than just look for all of these other things. So as I said at the beginning, everything has a nizam and time and place. The time and place for the day, time and place for the night, time and place for your child to grow up and talk and walk and do all of these things. Similarly, the nizam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, when you reach the age of puberty, there's a time and place for you to also consider to get married as well. We should not, as parents or as individuals, be looking to delay our marriages in our 30s and 40s, that is going against the nizam and the qudra of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and will affect us and damage us in this dunya and also in the hereafter. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us from amongst our wives and offsprings comfort to our heart and our eyes, and make us an example for the righteous.